Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arsenius, and I'm coming to you live from South Carolina with episode number 1624. And we are so delighted that you have chosen to join in and listen to another night of empowerment, encouragement, inspiring, and some uplifting. And I just excited what I have prepared to share, and I hope and I pray that it will help someone that is listening. Wherever you're listening from, thank you for joining in. And again, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am with One Touch Transformation, which is a nonprofit organization that focuses on sexual abuse awareness and prevention. So our mission for One Touch Transformation is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So the organization, just in case this is your first time listening to one of our segments, the organization has now been established for 8 years, and we started January 2014 simply off of a story of survivorship, I should say. And it was actually my personal story of overcoming and surviving childhood sexual abuse. And so once I, went through counseling and went through therapy, I knew that there was more that I needed to do, more that I wanted to do. I didn't want my journey just to end there, but I wanted to help others overcome. I wanted to educate others about sexual abuse and to, at least inform people and let them know that, hey, this is happening, it has been happening, and we need to do something about it. We need to say something. We need to speak up, speak to those who have not found their voice yet, speak for those who have found their voice but are still too afraid or too ashamed or too worried to share their story. And, I've talked a lot about sexual abuse, and it's actually going to tie into what we're going to talk about tonight. And if you did not know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the reason why I say it ties in with sexual abuse is because sexual abuse, being that it's a very traumatic experience that many people have gone through, it affects your mental health. It affects the mental side, the emotional side, and also, eventually the physical side, especially if it's something that someone has endured for, multiple years or even just one time, because any traumatic experience such as sexual abuse, it really takes a toll on your mind. It takes a toll on the emotional side of you. And sometimes more so than the physical side. One thing I used to share often, and I'm not sure how many people actually understood or understood the point that I often tried to make, which was the actual act of sexual abuse was easier to handle after effects. And I still, feel like that is true. I feel like it was easier to endure the actual abuse versus dealing with the effects of it, the aftermath of it, because it takes, oh my goodness, it takes such a toll on you mentally and emotionally, and sometimes it feels like that you cannot, overcome it and that you cannot come out of that part of it because it weighs on you. It takes a part of you. It takes a part of your mind. It takes a part of your spirit and your soul. Like it just affects you. Your whole entire, not necessarily your entire life. Because when we're talking about sexual abuse, not only is it a physical traumatic experience, but dealing with the aftermath, the effects of it, it can follow you, for the rest of your life, and sometimes it can control you if you're not able to, break through those things. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And so that's the part what a lot of people do not understand. So, yes, people know that it happens, but I do not think or I feel that people don't have a I guess, a better understanding or a full understanding of the aftermath or the effects of it. And they are so detrimental. And like I said, sometimes worse than the actual experience. And so that's why I said tonight's going to tie in with, you know, sexual abuse, the effects of it, and the mental, but more so the mental effects of it. And so, again, if this is your first time joining in, just One Touch Transformation, been around for 8 years, again, just educating the community, sharing stories, going into different organizations, faith-based organizations, sparking the conversation. You know, that's all a part of you know, raising awareness, having the conversation so people can, you know, at least spark it in their communities, in their homes, in their churches, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to help others who have endured these traumatic experiences. And not only just with sexual abuse does, you know, affect our mental health, but there are other experiences that people endure that are traumatic that may not be sexual abuse. I mean, you have physical abuse, you have emotional abuse, you have negligence. So many things, life just happens, and it affects us mentally. And so we're going to, like I said, focus a little bit on the mental side of it. All right, so before I even go any further, I just want to, you know, have a moment of silence to those 14 children and one teacher who was, you know, tragically killed in the school shooting this afternoon. I mean, that was just so heartbreaking, so heartbreaking. You know, talking about, you know, mental health and these children who were classmates, these parents who lost their children, you know, and, you know, the teacher, it was someone's child still, and maybe a mother, I'm not sure, I don't know all the information, but I cannot even imagine what these families are experiencing right now, what this school, this community is experiencing right now. I mean, we're at the end of the school year, and something so tragic such as this had to occur to this day, this afternoon. And so, of course, definitely screams volumes of some type of mental illness that will cause anyone to, you know, to do something such as this. And so my heart, my prayers, they go out to these families and to this school and this community. And I just want to, you know, take a moment of silence and respect to these families, this community who have lost these precious children and this teacher. All right, so mental health. So I would say most of the time when we're talking about mental health, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, suicide, because with mental health, it's often looked over, it's not really talked about. We will focus on our physical health before we focus on our mental health, because people, you know, there are some people who will neglect their, you know, their physical health as well, but people will neglect their mental health quicker than their physical health, because usually if you have an ailment, if you're hurting, then it's easy to acknowledge. It's easy to recognize it. But then when it comes to our mental health, sometimes we know that something is wrong, but most of the time we just kind of put it off, brush it off, oh, I'll be okay. I don't want to worry about that. I don't want to worry anyone else. I don't want any attention. So I'm just going to, you know, put on this mask, pretend that I'm okay, and maybe everyone else will think that I'm okay and won't bother me. I won't bother them. And so we go on from day to day not feeling well mentally. We may look well on the outside, we may feel well physically, but when we really evaluate our mental state and our mental health, man, sometimes it is a mess. it is a mess. We are sick, you know, mentally sick. And I'm not trying to say like where you're, you know, to the point where you cannot make, you know, most of your sound decisions, but, you know, it can get to that point. But I'm talking about when you're able to recognize that, hey, I'm not mentally here. I don't feel well. But even when we recognize and understand that we are not well mentally or we're just not all the way there, we still go on and pretend that we are okay and pretend that there is nothing wrong so that no one will stop and ask us what's wrong or do you need to talk. And I don't know if it's because people see it as a weakness, but it is not a weakness. If you ever need to talk to someone or if you ever feel like mentally that your mental health is not at its best, it does not mean that you're weak. It just means sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need to talk to someone. Sometimes you just need to take some time out for yourself because we are not robots, even though we treat our life like we are robots. We have the same routine day in, day out. Go to work, come back home, go to bed, get back up, go back to work, come back home. And sometimes our routine, it becomes so repetitive that it drains us mentally. And yes, you may have some outlets that you practice, which is great. Some people may go to the gym. Some people may just go take a walk on the track. And sometimes that is helpful. That can be helpful whenever you're releasing some of that stress, releasing some of those things that are bothering you, taking a moment to just take your mind off of work or take your mind off of other problems or things that are constantly on your mind. You know, even when I'm at work, whenever we have our break, sometimes I have to make myself go outside and take a walk during my planning period. Otherwise, I am still in the classroom while the assistant is in there, and I'm still sitting in the classroom doing work when I should take a break, step out, go take a few laps. And so sometimes I have to make myself do that just so that my mental health is okay. Because if not, I'm going to continue to work, get drained, and mentally tired, mentally exhausted. And let me tell you, mental exhaustion is sometimes worse than physical exhaustion. I mean, you can sit at a desk all day and don't really work your body physically, but whenever you're working your mind all day, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, it really drains you. It exhausts you. And so, again, this is why mental health is so important. It is so important to recognize it. It is so important to know that, or not even to know it, but to express how important it is, because so long we have neglected our mental health. And so now what I want to do, I'm going to go to, you know, the spiritual side of it, go to the spiritual side. And there are some people who feel like just because, you know, just because we are believers, just because I'm in church every weekend, I read my Bible, I pray, and nothing is supposed to affect me mentally. That's so wrong. So wrong. We are human. We are not angels. We are not gods, but we are human. Yes, we do have a spiritual life, but while we have a spiritual life, we are living in this body. We are doing things day in and day out, which will have an impact on us mentally and emotionally. But, you know, we do have scriptures that will help us. Praying to God, of course, that helps us. But what do you do when you need additional resources? Am I any less of a believer because I need more than scripture or I need more than prayer? No. It is okay, like the sayings that we've seen on social media, is okay to have Jesus and therapy. It is okay. I do not see you as being a weak Christian just because you have a therapist or just because you attend therapy sessions. It does not make you a weak believer or a weak Christian. It is not mean that you are, you know, struggling in your faith or, you know, those things. And you should never allow anyone to make you feel that way either. But 1 Peter 5 and 7, it does tell us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So first of all, we do know that anything that we go through, anything, any sickness, any mental sicknesses, any mental ailments, any mental diseases, any mental issues, anything that causes us to be mentally exhausted, everything, we can cast it to God. Why? Because he lets us know that he cares for us. He is the one that we go to, you know, we should go to first. He should be the first thing that we depend on. We can't always depend on our friends. We can't always depend on family. We cannot depend on man, but we can always depend on God. And so that's why he's like, look, whatever it is, you can cast it on me. I don't care what it is. I don't care how big it is, how small it is. It's at casting all your care. So that's everything, everything. He said, cast it upon me because I care for you. Now, people who say they care about you or care for you may not always really mean it. People who say that they'll always be there for you, that they'll always be by your side, you know, I got your back, they might not always be there. And sometimes it's not even, you know, purposely. Things happen. They're human. People forget. People have other obligations. People have other things going on in their life. And so there are times that they may not be able to show up, but it's not because they don't want, but like I said, things happen. Conflicts happen. And so when we're talking about casting our care on God, nothing never interferes. Nothing ever comes up to the point where God said, oh, hold on, give me a day or two, or let me get back to you. But no, we can go to God at any time. At any time of the day, any time of the night, because he cares for us. And he wouldn't tell us to cast everything or anything if he didn't mean it or if he didn't care. So we know that God, we can always count on him. And we know that he does not lie. And he said that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he has proven time after time, not only through scripture, but even through stories that we've read on different ones who have needed God in their, you know, their most desperate times. And so we go through things in life that we feel desperate when we, you know, when we desperately need God, especially when it comes to those mental things, the things that have a toll on our mental health. Because I'm telling you, they are exhausting. It really is exhausting. And so, again, the first thing that comes to mind when we're talking about mental health for me is suicide. And I know it's not a topic that everyone likes to talk about, but again, like sexual abuse, suicide, it happens. It happens. And it's one of those things that we may not always understand, especially when someone that we love, someone that we know, someone that we may have cared about has committed suicide. You just can't wrap your mind around it. And there's so many questions. And because he or she has committed suicide, you can no longer, what was wrong? What happened? And, you know, and it will make you upset too. It will make you upset, especially when it's someone that you love and someone that you cared about. Now, I mean, of course, we hear different stories of people who have committed suicide. And, you know, when it's coming from, you know, when the stories are from people from afar off, it's like, you know, casually. But when it's someone that you know, someone that you love, someone that you really care about, it hurts, makes you upset. So many questions, and it makes you wonder, like, what was really going on in his or her mind? Like, why couldn't he or she talk to me? Why didn't he or she reach out? But there are times and there are people who feel like, you know, I'm supposed to be the strong one. I can't allow anyone to see me or, you know, appear weak, or know that I'm seeking help. Because you do have people who are ashamed of sharing that they need help, or that they even seek help, or that they seek a therapist. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think about it when we're talking about mental health and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, you know, these are some amazing people. And you truly have to have the gift to care, to listen, to mentor, and to guide, to direct. And God, He placed these different types of people who help in these capacities, and they wouldn't be here if there was no need for them. But we all know there's a need for them, because even as a body of Christ, every spiritual leader is not able to help, you know, someone who needs, you know, help, such as a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist or a counselor. Every leader is not able to do that. Now, you do have some leaders who can, and if they can, then awesome. But for those who are not able to, you know, give direct services, then don't be afraid or don't be ashamed to reach out in the community for someone who is able and willing to connect with your organization or with your church to help provide the services that people in your congregation need. The people in your congregation need to know, number one, that you care, that you, you know, at least acknowledge that, you know, mental health is important. So your congregation needs to know that you care about their mental health. Because, number one, you should care about yours personally, but you should also let the people that you love and care about know that you care about their mental health. Because we know that every day isn't always going to be beautiful as far as the things that happen in our life. Things are going to go wrong. There are times we're going to have to adjust. There are times when we're going to have to adapt, and it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. It's not easy for everyone to adapt and adjust when things change, especially when something traumatic happens or something that's just life-changing. It's not always easy to just adjust. And so that's when our mental health is. But going back to suicide, suicide, it's one of those things that's just, again, difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand, and I guess you can say for some people difficult to talk about. And one reason it's difficult for people to talk about because, one, they know someone or they were close to someone who has committed suicide. And even when we think about these past 2 years, how suicide rates have skyrocketed due to the life changes, you know, with the pandemic happening, with the social injustices, with everything. There's just so much going on. There was a lot going on. And if there ever was a time that people needed to do a checkup of their mental health, now is the time. So we have our physical checkup. Some people go twice a year. Some go once a year. I mean, but however often you go, you should always have a physical checkup. But mental health checkups are just as important, because if your mind is not right, then physically you're not going to be able to operate as you would want to or as you should from day to day. So your mental health is definitely in a positive state. It has to be in a positive state. And so often from day to day, people are working, you know, physically okay, but mentally not okay. They're showing up, but not okay. They're fulfilling their duties, but not okay. It's almost as if they have become numb just to everyday life. A person who has become numb is not in the best state mentally. When you develop that numb feeling, and trust me, I've been there before, when you develop that numb feeling, it almost seems as if nothing matters. No matter what anyone says, what anyone does, you just have developed this numbness that has kind of allowed you to block everything. And it's not a good state to be in. But when we're talking about suicide, it definitely has skyrocketed. And I'm actually going to give some information off the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention page. So if at any time you're interested in looking over some of these things, it's the website that you can go to. So again, it's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Before I read out any information, I would like to give the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Most of the time when I'm talking about sexual abuse, I'll give that hotline. But I do want to start off by giving the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And this is so important. I often talk about how you can help others who you may not know have gone through sexual abuse, but it's the same even when we're talking about suicide. There may be people on your timeline, there may be people in your circle, people on your job, people in your church who have contemplated suicide. And they, you know, you just never know how close they are from going over the edge. And it may be something that you say that can either, you know, speak life or death, because it lets us know that the Bible lets us know that life and death is in the power of our tongue. So we have to make sure that we are always speaking life anytime we interact with different ones, anytime we encounter or engage in a conversation where the other party is telling us how they're feeling. If anything, if you can't do anything else, speak life into someone's life. Speak life into their situation. I know you may not be able to save them. You can't make them do anything. But the least that you can do is speak life. Speak life. And find out, you know, what they need. And if you aren't able to provide the resources, find a way to connect them with the right resources. Do your part. Do your part. And so one way that we can do our part is by simply posting the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And I'll give this number out at the end as well. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. And the cool thing about these hotlines, even when it comes to the sexual assault hotline and this suicide hotline, if by chance you know, if you Google it, so, for instance, if you put in National Suicide Hotline, whenever the number comes up underneath it, there is a chat button or chat link where you're able to chat with someone. And so I love how they have made it versatile where they know everyone does not want to talk over the phone, but they may feel more comfortable just chatting online. So that is available. So, again, you can type in National Suicide Hotline, and right below the number, they have the chat button that you can press. All right, so back to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention page. And so this is terrible. It's terrible, but, you know, it's real life. But suicide is a leading cause of death. Suicide, and just the political definition of suicide, it's death caused by injuring oneself with the intent to die. A suicide attempt is when someone harms themselves with any intent to end their life, but they do not die as a result of their actions. So, I mean, you'll have plenty who make suicide attempts, but, you know, aren't successful in it. But, you know, it's still a bad state to be in. I've seen those who wear the semicolon as a tattoo. And I remember when I first read about it, it was for those who, you know, may have attempted suicide but did not succeed. And for some, it was a wake-up call to let them know, like, you know what? I can continue with life. I can get better. I am able to, you know, I'm able to beat this no matter what it is. And I love that because that's a way of, you know, speaking life to a dying situation. And like I said, that's what people need. That's what people need. So shout out to whoever came up with the semicolon tattoo. I really like that. And like I said, most of the time I'll see people with the tattoo only inside of their wrist, because you know those are places where people attempt when they're cutting themselves. So I always, you know, get joy out of seeing where people have, you know, survived and realized that they can beat it. But more about suicide, many factors can increase the risk for suicide. It's connected to other forms of injury and violence. So there's not just one cause or one reason of why people try or, you know, or succeed in suicide. It can be connected to different forms of injury and violence. People who've experienced child abuse, bullying, sexual violence, those people tend to have a higher suicide risk. So I'm not saying that they all lead to suicide or suicidal attempts, but those who've experienced different traumatic experiences tend to have a higher suicide risk. But it says being connected to family and community support and having easy access to health care can decrease suicidal thoughts and behavior. That last part, having easy access to health care. And that's one thing that really sucks about our country and health care. It makes no sense how expensive it is just to go to the doctor for a checkup, and let alone to go speak with a therapist or a counselor. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand why we have to pay, you know, $150 to $200 for a one-hour session to talk to someone. Like, I get it, that's their career and everything, but why am I paying to talk to someone? Think about it. You're paying from $150 to $200 and maybe more in different areas, but we're paying just to talk to someone. We're doing the talking most of the time. But it's sad. It really is sad. And the people who need it the most may not be able to afford the healthcare services. And that's another reason, or one reason why suicide is the leading cause of death, because those who are attempting or those who have may not have been able to talk with anyone because they didn't have sufficient amount of funds or didn't have health care. Suicide rates increased 30% between 2000 and 2018, but then it says in decline in 2019 and 2020. Suicide is a leading cause of death in the U.S., and in 2020, there were about 46,000 deaths, and it equates to about one death every 11 minutes. The number of people who think about or attempt suicide is even higher. In 2020, an estimated 12.2 million American adults seriously thought about suicide, 3.2 million planned a suicide attempt, and 1.2 million attempted suicide. And so we know there were so many things going on in 2020, and I haven't seen the numbers for 2021, but I can imagine that it probably did increase even more, because we're talking about where people have lost so many loved ones due to COVID, and due to the ones who've lost their jobs, who've lost their homes, who've lost just so much. So many people have experienced so many losses, and there's no telling what has been going through their mind. So suicide affects all ages. In 2020, suicide was among the top 9 leading causes of death for people ages 10 to 64. Suicide was the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 to 14 and 25 to 34. So really, we're talking about young people. Young, 10 to 14, 25 to 34. That is young. I am 35. And so we're talking about these young people, young as 10 years old. And one may say, a 10-year-old, it can't be that bad. But you never know. You never know what's going through the next person's head. You never know what a child is dealing with at home. As a teacher, I have to take everything into consideration whenever I'm greeting a child, whenever I'm talking to a child, or when I'm talking to my students, because I have no idea what my students deal with on a day-to-day basis at home. I only see them from, 7:45 to 3 o'clock. That's the only time I see them. After 3 o'clock, I don't know what they go home to. I don't know what they deal with at night. I don't know what they face. I don't know what's going through their minds. And even when they come to school, I still don't know everything that's going through their mind unless they tell me. Now, thankfully, some of them are able to talk to me and let me know when something is bothering them or when something is on their mind. But other than that, I have no idea what's going on, these students going on in their head. And so even as adults, we still can't write each other off just because we have a smile on our face, just because we are doing a thing. and doing it well. But just because a person is doing it well does not mean that they are, mentally well. Some of the strongest people are suffering the most. Some of the ones who we think have it all figured out and have it all together and who we just view as being so successful and so hardworking, they are some of the ones who are suffering the most. Trying to hang on, trying to keep that smile going, trying to keep the energy going, but they are suffering. Sometimes it's the strongest ones. And the reason why we overlook the strong ones is because they wear it as if they are strong, as if nothing is wrong, as if nothing's bothering them. And so we tend to overlook them. So some groups have higher suicide rates than others. They vary by race, ethnicity, age, and other factors such as where someone lives. By race and ethnicity, the groups with the highest rate were non-Hispanic American, Indian, Alaska Native, and non-Hispanic white populations. Other Americans with higher than average rate of suicides are veterans, which is understandable. Because when we're talking about veterans, we're talking about those who are dealing with PTSD, those who are on the streets due to the lack of resources and the lack of help that veterans, have a hard time receiving and just getting help in general. The people who live in rural areas and workers in certain industries and occupations like mining and construction. Young people who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual have higher rates of suicidal thoughts and behavior compared to their peers who identify as heterosexual. Why? Because they're dealing with these identity issues, their lifestyles, and so you're going to have, it's just layer on top of layers of mental issues that just factor in these things, these different situations. And, it's real. It is real. And so that's why we have to just understand why mental health in general is just so important. It is important to make sure you're taking care of yourself mentally, no matter what it takes. It's important. It's not something that we should take lightly. It's not something that we should just push to the side. And, you'll have, as believers, and, if you're one who has grown up in church, sometimes you would hear, the older saints say, oh, just pray about it. It'll be all right. Okay, yes, I already know to pray about it. I've already prayed about it. But what else do I do? What do you say to the new member, to the new believer who, has already prayed and still seeking more or who still needs more? What do we do? Where do we go from there? And that's why it's so important, again, to connect to those resources in your community. And you do have some organizations or some groups that are willing to provide the services, for little or free of charge. You have programs who are willing to come into the church or whatever organization you're with. They will implement their program. There's no harm in asking, because if you don't ask, you'll never know. But it has to be a priority. Mental health has to be a priority. We need to change the way we view it. We need to change the way that we, the way we feel about it, the way we think of it. We need to change it. We need to prioritize it. It is important. It is up same level as our physical health. because there's no need of having a, you know, a clean body, being in shape, going to the gym, eating the right foods, you know, taking care of your body, but then mentally you're out of whack. You're out of whack. So we have to take care of our mental health. Said suicide has far-reaching impact. Suicide and suicide attempts cause a serious emotional, physical, and economic impact. People who attempt suicide and survive may experience serious injuries that can have long-term effects on their health. They may also experience depression and other mental health concerns. Since the good news is that more than 90% of people who attempt suicide and survive never go on to die by suicide. So that is great news. That is great news. But there are, you know, people who deal with depression. Depression is real. And I don't know. I just wish that we could look at it in a different way. Some may say, well, Christians shouldn't be depressed or Christians shouldn't be stressed. But guess what? Christians do get stressed. Christians deal with anxiety. And guess what? We're not just starting to deal with anxiety. It's not like this is something new. We find different ones in the Bible who have dealt with anxiety, who have dealt with depression, who have dealt with mental illnesses, who have felt, you know, incompetent, or who have felt like the weight of the world was on their shoulders. We have examples. But again, First Peter tells us to cast all your care or cast your stress, your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So God wants us to give all of our worries, all of our concerns, everything. He wants us to give it to him. And also, if you back up to verse 6, which I just noticed, have it pulled up, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And another version says, he will strengthen you. If you humble yourself under his mighty hand, he will uphold you and strengthen you. He will uphold you and strengthen you. So in those times when we are feeling anxious, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling like we are, you know, just have little to no value, we can still humble ourselves so that we can find strength in God. And so, again, the different examples that we can find in the Bible, we have David. I mean, think about the different Psalms he wrote. That encouragement from David is because of all those times, you know, he was up, down, running away. He dealt with so much. And you can call it depression, you can call it anxiety, you can, whatever you want to call it. It dealt with him, you know, on a mental level. And so, prime example was Psalms 23, the fourth verse is, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of shadow death. We're talking about walking through a dark valley. That is, nothing about that seems fun. Nothing about that seems good, beautiful. But we're talking about walking through darkness, that we're talking about gloom. But you say, even though he walks through that, he said, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So again, David, even though he felt that depression, that anxiety, all of those things that was going through his head mentally, he knew that he could still cast everything, his worry on God. And that's how he was able to be strengthened and comforted, because he had, you know, the rod and the staff. And he said, I'm not afraid. I don't fear no evil because I know that you're with me. So God is with us no matter what we go through, even though it may feel like he's not with us. But guess what? God is with us when we feel like God has forsaken us because of what we go through or because of the depression that we feel, those bad days that we go through, those times when we feel like just crying. Guess what? God is still with us. I mean, there have been times when I felt like God has forsaken me, but I have to remind myself through his word that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And again, just speak life. You have to encourage yourself even when you can't find encouragement from anyone else. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, and I know it can get difficult. Times get hard where it is difficult to encourage ourselves and where it is difficult to dig and reach within us so we can pull out God's word that reminds us that he is with us, or remind us that he will comfort us, or remind us that we don't have to worry, that we don't have to fear. But again, I know because we are human. We are human, and so sometimes we do deal with those anxious times, those depressing times, because what God is still with us. We're getting close in time, close to our call of salvation. You know, it was just, man, going through these scriptures of God being with us and being encouraged through God's word as far as with David, how he constantly reminded us that God is with us. That gives us encouragement today, that let us know no matter what we go through, no matter how dark our days may be, no matter how down we may get, God is with us. But I know sometimes it feels like he's not. Even after we've prayed, after we've, you know, encouraged ourselves through his word, sometimes it still may feel like we are alone. It may feel like God is not with us. But I want to encourage you tonight that despite how you may feel mentally, how you may feel emotionally, I want to remind you that God is still with you. And maybe you've been feeling lately that God has forsaken you. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to remind you that God is still there. He has never left your side. He has never left you. You may feel like there's been some distance between the two of you, but guess what? Nah. God, he still loves you. He still cares. And he is still telling you and asking you to cast all your problems, cast all of your creation, cast everything that is not of him, everything that's causing you to be sad, depressed, said, give it to me. I can bear it all. I know you can't. God knows that we can't handle everything. There are some things that he allows us to go through, but he doesn't allow us to take on everything. Not unless you want to, you know, because it's up to you. He tells us to cast it to him, and so we're the ones who have to make that move. And so tonight, God is asking you to make that move. He's asking as a friend, as a father, like, cast it onto me. You do not have to carry this load. You do not have to carry this depression, this anxiety, this worryation. You don't have to carry this. You don't have to walk through darkness alone. I am with you. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. And so if you're ready to cast it all to him, then I want you to pray with me. And if by chance you don't know God and would like to invite him into your life, I also want you to pray with me. Behold, he stands at the door and knock, and he's waiting for you to just let him in. If any man would just let him in. Again, he's standing right there. Open up your heart and let him in. And we're going to pray this prayer to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for just being who you are. Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for the entire world. God, you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten son. And you said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for the blood that was shed on Calvary that was saved the entire world. And, God, we ask that you just remove everything that's not of you. We ask that you forgive us of all of our sins. Forgive us for everything that we may have said or done, any evil thought, anything that may have gone against your will. God, we ask for your forgiveness. And, Father, we ask that you just come into our heart. God, we know that you're standing at the door. God, someone is ready to let you in. God, someone is ready to receive you and to receive your love and to receive your joy and to receive your strength and your power and your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you allow it to comfort us. We ask that you allow it to strengthen us. Lord, you said you would send a comforter. and that comforter will direct us and lead us and guide us to all truth. And so, God, we're asking for your guidance. God, we thank you for what you have done. We praise you. And God, I ask that you lift every heavy burden tonight. God, you told us to cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. And so, God, we're casting everything at your feet. God, we lay it all at your feet. We lay it all down at your feet. Every variation, every problem, every concern, every anxiety, every depression, everything that is not of you, every mental illness, every mental disease, God, we ask that you just take it away from us. Lord, we know that you don't want us to carry it. We can't bear this. But God, we lay it all at your feet. And Father, we ask that you just touch everyone who is listening, everyone who is suffering. God, we ask that you strengthen and comfort and deliver only like you can. Go to the hospitals and heal only like you can. Send your healing power. Father, we pray for the families of those students who lost their lives today, the family of the teacher who lost their life today. God, comfort only like you can. Wrap your loving arms around them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we know that these things, they happen. And we know that Satan, he's just seeking wherever he can, doing the work that we know that he is destined to do. But God, we know that you still have all power in your hands. God, we ask that you continue to cover us under your blood in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you again. We thank you, God. We can't thank you enough. We thank you for life. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your protection as we travel from day to day. Thank you for covering us and watching over us even while we're on our jobs, because, God, we know that anything could happen. And, God, we pray for those in office and authority. God, we pray that you be with them as they make the decisions, anything that may affect us. God, we love you. We praise you, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. All these blessings we ask in your name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, at this time, we're going to turn it over to none other than Brother Rob, and he's going to give us our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network. Let's see. Brother Rob, are you there? Okay. Well, not sure if he can hear me, but just a quick recap of tonight's talk on Mental Health Awareness Month. Again, it's one of those topics that we need to shed more light on. Like I said often earlier, I said often we tend to, shun away from the topic or feel like it's just not important enough to talk about. And maybe it's because it's one of those things that you can't actually see on the outside, such as things that affect us, physically. When we have a physical ailment, we have a broken bone or something to that sort, is where it's easier to talk about because we can see it, easier to understand because we see it. But when it comes to mental health, we can't see it. And so it makes it a little hard to really talk about it and to understand. And for some, it's embarrassing to talk about because people tend to think that they appear weaker because they need a little bit of help. But again, there's nothing wrong with seeking help. There's nothing wrong with counseling. There's nothing wrong with therapy. And so I challenge everyone to, if anything, give yourself a mental health checkup. Check on your mental health. Check on your strong friends. Check on your leaders, because leaders, they bear a lot. They bear a lot, even with, their flock. They have, individuals who may come to them and just dump all of their problems on them. And so then you have to wonder, okay, so who do leaders talk to? Other than God. We know they talk to God. But at the end of the day, you have to wonder who is, you know, the counselor for the counselor or the therapist for the therapist. Who do they talk to? And I think about that often. I think about that often because if that's all a counselor does all day, you know, for their day-in, day-out job, someone coming in, dumping all of their problems on them, it's like, okay, so who's going to be the counselor for them? Who's going to be the counselor for them? Who's going to, you know, be that listening ear for them? And so we have to take all of these things into consideration. So with teachers, leaders, like spiritual leaders, counselors, therapists, we have to make sure, check on them as well. Check on them as well because they're human. They're human too. So that's why mental health, it matters. It matters. It's important. And again, we need to learn how to prioritize our mental health. You have some people who take mental health days, and it is okay. If you need to, I've said it before, if you need to call out of work and take a mental health day, if, you know, if you're in that career or in a field where you're able to do that easily, then, hey, by all means, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself because you do not want to get to the point where you were so mentally drained, so mentally depleted that you're not able to fulfill your job. And, you know, it happens. It happens. And so we definitely have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, not just physically, but both mentally and physically, and also emotionally. We hold on to things emotionally, and that's what begins to affect us mentally. Like, we have emotions. People may not like to show their emotions or share their emotions, but we have emotions, and that's also a part of our mental health. I'm guilty of holding in emotions, and I know part of that is because of my traumatic experiences as a child when it came to, you know, the sexual abuse side. Those are some things that are just difficult for me to do, you know, share my emotions and show that emotional side. I like to hold them in. I didn't focus too much or deal too much with it whenever I did go to therapy, but I do realize and I recognize that that is part of my, I guess, part of my, problem, but yeah, whatever it is. But that's part of who I am or part of the reason why I am the way that I am when it comes to my emotional side. There we go. And just find the right words. And that may be the case for others. Due to the things that we experience in life, it has an impact on us mentally, definitely. And I learned that immediately after seeking help. I learned so much about why I do some of the things that I do, why I think the way that I do. And that's how it is in life. We learn so much about ourselves whenever we're willing to when we're willing to find out what's going on mentally. But, you know, mental health matters. So let's begin to prioritize our mental health, talk about it, and I'm going to give out those numbers again. I gave them out earlier, but I'm going to give them out again. And the depression hotline is 1-855-270-2133. Again, that's the depression hotline. So anyone that may be feeling having those thoughts of depression, or if you even want to just post this so someone can see this on your line, is 1-855-270-2133. And the suicide prevention number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. Go ahead, Brother Rob.
Yes, real quickly, you know, I have a little bit of technical difficulties, but right now I'm back on, and real quickly, I just want to give one more number, which is rain.org, which is 1-800-656-HOPE. And tomorrow night, guys, well, guys, listen, we hope we have Sister Dominique Hudson on tomorrow evening. And once again, at the 9 o'clock p.m. hour, Sister Dominique Hutton. And with that being said, this is just an abbreviation of our announcements, and so I'm going to just go ahead and let Minister Jackson conclude tonight's show.
All right. Thanks, Brother Rob. That's all I have for tonight. I want to thank all of our online listeners and those who called in to listen. Again, prioritize your mental health. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. And, again, always pray. Always be encouraged by the word of God. And just know that you don't have to carry this alone. God has equipped different ones on this earth to help you get through any and everything. So no matter how dark it may look, no matter how down you may get, just know that, you know, God will never forsake you. And you have someone who's always in your corner. So don't be afraid to seek help and take care of yourself. Well, I hope you have a wonderful night and enjoy the rest of your week. And remember that God loves you.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.